I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
Most,
6:43. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Pretty well. But I had one of those count your blessings moments last night at the same time that you start throwing on prayers, because the faster you can, the better. I went and played a little basketball, and I came out. By the way, playing basketball now for me means shooting for a half an hour. But I came back out, and I get a text message from a cousin of mine. I grew up with my cousins. And this cousin of mine and is one of the guys I'm closer to in life than most folks. And his little brother, the creep that we all, tortured when we were little. He was, hey, can I play with you guys? Can I play with you guys? Can I play with you guys? Well, he turned out to grow up to be the biggest, toughest stud you would imagine. And he was this little runt kid, and he was the good-looking, he was the stud. He was one of the women we're all chasing and all of that. So he's had a few bumps in the road in life, and he'd gotten his act together a few years ago. Well, I got a text last night. He's got stomach cancer.
Oh.
And the lesson out of this is the same as Doc and I have been talking about for years. And this goes to men and women, but men are particularly bad at this. If you're a tough guy, you're not that tough. And when you start having symptoms that are problematic and are not the course of a normal situation, you go, well, one of two things. You either go, well, I don't want to know. I don't go to the doctor because I don't want to know. Well, how do you think that's going to work out? Or secondarily, you don't want to bother people, or you think you're going to be able to tough it out and get out of it. Well, he apparently has had symptoms going on for most of the summer, into the fall. So now he's in the fight of his life. And I love this guy. And Ronnie, and listen, if anybody can beat this, it's you. And there's no point in going back and beating him up now about what he didn't do other than supporting him going forward. But I talked to his brother last night, and I know he'd want me to say this, which is why I'm saying it. Another example of what not to do. What to do is to treat this stuff seriously. Go to the doctor. The best news you can get is go home. You're fine. Stop looking at WebMD. You're fine. But if there is bad news, you want to deal with it, and you want to deal with it quickly. I mean, Doc, you want to add anything to all that?
No, and for the most part, doctors are pretty nice people.
Right.
Our goal is to really extend your life, not only the quantity of your life, but the quality of your life. So, a lot of the things that you'll do for your car, bring it in for the oil changes and the tune-ups and things like that, we don't even do for our own body. If your car makes a weird noise, you run it in right away, right? If your body makes a weird sound or makes a weird feeling, get it in. We take better care of our cars than we do our body in some cases.
Well, and women, I would say this to women as well, because women are terrible patients, moms and dads, right? If your kid's sick, the first thing you're going to do is insist they get help or try to get them help and do it as fast as you possibly can. But if you're sick, I'll get to it. I mean, come on.
Moms are great generals of healthcare. They are the ones saying, you get in, I'm taking you in right now.
But not great patients on their own, right?
Well, they're better than men, I'll tell you.
Is that right?
Absolutely. You'll find more women get their mammograms on time than men get their prostate checks.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yep.
That's great to hear. All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll take some traffic here, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about your body. Well, that came out awkward, didn't it, Doc?
Yeah.
We'll talk about your body, Doc. We'll talk about a few things that we need to understand, including Andrea's near blindness episode.
Yeah,
if she hadn't gone to the doctor, she could have really gone off the rails.
Talk about not waiting. Don't wait.
Dr. Kevin Most. All right, so last week, Andrea came in, and I thought she was auditioning for Pirates of Penzance because she was down to one good eye. And it turns out that she had had an incident, Dr. Kevin Most.
Yep.
Where she left her contacts in for a long time and then pulled her contact out.
Just and, like that. That's how it sounded, too.
Yeah.
And what did you rip? You ripped something.
I scratched my cornea and...
created an ulcer on your eye.
Created an ulcer on my eye, got infected. And then, Doc, I don't know if I told you this. On Friday when I went back, I was dousing them with eye drops top of every hour on the hour for 48 yeah. hours. It was brutal to do. And it was basically being over-medicated. So yeah. it kind of burned through that. So it was kind of like putting salt in an open wound.
So now you don't have cornea anymore?
No. So I have two new medicines
probably
now.
Probably not a gold and not have a cornea?
No, one is a gel and the other's a steroid. And I was completely freaked out about putting steroids
in my
eyes.
But you look way better today. So you feel better?
I feel like a new person. The ulcer's still there, but the pain level has gone from a 10 to probably a 3.
So, Doc, this is a pretty sensitive little part of our body, right?
Yeah, it is, and it's kind of interesting. People are probably sitting there listening going, wait a second, I've had infections in my eye, and it didn't hurt me at all. Andrea must be a wimp.
Oh, but God, no. No, and I have a pretty high pain threshold, I would say.
Absolutely. Most people who have infections in their eyes have what we call pink eye, and that's the conjunctiva. The white portion of our eye gets infected, not the cornea. The conjunctiva has very few nerves, so really sometimes you don't even know you have an infection until someone comes up and says, what's wrong with your eye? The cornea, just the opposite. The cornea has a lot of nerves on it, and if you scratch it, if people have had a scratched cornea or get a cornea ulcer, it is extremely painful, and that's one of the ways the body is going to try to protect its vision. It's going to force you to do something. So it's great that you got in, and it's great that you're being treated because the cornea is important for vision, where the conjunctiva is important for structure.
So why is it so painful? Why was she in that kind of pain? Because at one point I got a call from her and it just sounded like this. Ah!
Yeah.
It's true.
So you can imagine, you can't imagine, but someone who has had a terrible, terrible burn, essentially you have your nerves are just exposed and there's nothing there to protect it.
Oh, wow, great.
So for the cornea, it's the same. When you have a scratch, now those nerves are exposed. And every time you blink, you're dragging your eyelid over it. Sometimes you want to just keep your eyelid closed so there's no motion whatsoever on it. But it's that friction across a raw nerve that makes that discomfort so strong.
All right. Now, when God made us, you know, we stood in line for various times. Obviously, I stood in the forehead line a little too long because I got extra forehead. But your eye is set back in your skull. That's architectural, right? That's to protect it?
Absolutely. You know, and people say, God, you're a geek when you talk about things like this. But the eye is absolutely amazing when you think about it. Just from an anatomy point of view, like you said, it's set back. Two things happen there. One, it protects us a little bit from the sun. But more importantly, it protects the eye. So if you were to be in a fight and you got hit in the forehead at close to your eye, no damage. Hitting the cheek, no damage. Those bones are both very strong. If you got hit directly in the eye, what happens is the lower bone below our eye is very weak, and it's weak for a reason, so that if you're struck directly in the eye, that bone fractures, the eye sets down, and your vision is protected. It's actually really cool when you think about
it. Yeah, it's smart design.
Kind of like some of the cars. Yeah, smart design, exactly.
So that's why you hear different times about a fracture around the eye socket, and you think, oh, my God, what a horrific injury, but it's actually anatomically more preferred to what could happen.
Correct. If that didn't give, then your eye would actually fracture. It would rip. You'd lose vision completely versus someone that gets struck directly in the eye. Baseball players, you know, boy, you get that eye socket that fractures, but a little surgery and sometimes not even any surgery at all, and it heals.
So, Doc, steroids are used to treat. I mean, this was, you know, a horrible case scenario where it resulted in the use of steroids.
Yep.
But I hear that. I think as patients, we hear that and think, oh, gosh, you know, the alarms go off. Is that something to be afraid of with treatment?
No, it's not. No. So steroids are the best anti-inflammatory we have. So two things about it. One, the cornea has very, very poor blood supply. Actually, almost has zero blood supply. So in order, you couldn't take oral steroids, you couldn't take pills, and it would help that inflammation. So you have to have the drops. That being said, no one should put steroids in their eyes unless they've seen an eye doctor to make sure that you don't have a viral infection in your eye versus a bacterial infection in your eye. So when you're done with your illness here and the cornea is healed, throw those steroids away. You don't even want to have that temptation saying, oh, my eye hurts again. I'm going to start using the steroids, because it can be devastating if it's a virus that's infecting your eye.
Yeah, that's why you talk to specialists. That's why you don't put antibiotics in your eye, which you've talked about before here. Quickly, on glaucoma, what are we looking at there?
You know, people probably have heard of people who have had glaucoma. And the cornea, the eye itself just needs to have so much pressure in it to maintain it. For glaucoma, the eye just doesn't, the fluid doesn't flow well. So it's like taking a balloon and filling it more and more and more. And it just puts too much pressure on that nerve, and it causes damage to it. So for glaucoma, it's too much pressure in your eye. You've probably been to the eye doctor. He shoots that little puff into your eye. He's testing you for glaucoma to make sure your eye pressure is okay. Very common, very important, for especially for seniors, to make sure that they get that checked, because we can use just eye drops and actually treat glaucoma.
What are cataracts?
Cataracts are, you know, we have a lens in our eye. Cataract is when that gets cloudy. And that happens quite frequently. It's the number one surgery done in the United States right now. They'll they'll pop the lens out, actually, and put a new plastic lens in. So it's kind of cool, but it'll continue to allow people to have great vision. Actually, after they have their lens replaced, many people go back to 20/20 vision. It's kind of interesting.
Another freak-out moment was when they mentioned corneal transplant, you know, if your wound doesn't heal. But that is more common. You know, immediately you think transplant, an organ transplant, it's a huge deal. But that is more common than you would think.
It's very, very common, and it's one thing, you know, for people that are considering being organ donors, think about this. This, a simple thing is donating your cornea can give vision to two people. So they'll take that cornea, and like I said, the blood supply to the cornea is very poor. So that's one of those things that's kind of good, because now the chance of it being rejected is very low. So cornea transplants are done all the time. It's a great organ, I'll say, to donate, and it'll actually increase the lives, the vision of many people. So consider signing your organ donation just for that, because it's a fairly simple surgery, and yet it really is life impactful for those people who are losing their vision.
Well, Andrea normally is a person that when she's sickly with a flu, I can't get her to leave work, but she was very aggressive in this treatment last week, and I saluted you off the air for that. Let me salute you on the air for taking care of yourself.
Well, thank you both, and thank you, Dr. Most, and everybody at Rush,
running,
too.
And by the way, she was running with a stick. It had nothing to do with context. Her mother always told her, don't run with the pointy stick, she was. Doc, thank you, buddy.
You got it.